League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
What's going on, y'all? It's your man, Dante Miles, back in the building after an amazing week for the brand here with the 2025 MLB All-Star Game being in Atlanta. You know where to follow me at October's on Tay on Twitter and Instagram. And for everything Barbershare, make sure you follow us at Barbershare Co. on Twitter and Instagram as well. Subscribe to the Patreon at patreon.com/Barbershare Network. We have four tiers. All four are very affordable. A lot of great content, especially with Bears OTAs and the regular season about to kick off. And the same can go for the Atlanta Falcons and King's Landing. So we got a lot of great content coming for you for the NFL season. Still got our soccer content. You know, they only get a month off, and then they're right back to it. So we're going to have some transfer talk and everything going with the guys, so make sure you check in with them. For everything merch-related, make sure you hit up bcnetshop.com. 25% off your first purchase, I believe, especially if you subscribe to the Patreon. It's some deal like that. Check the fine print, but we got you. And for all things Barbershare Network, make sure you check out the bcnet.com. Like I said, we just had a great weekend at the 2025 MLB All-Star. We got some great content up, and we got a lot more coming for you from all our other shows. So just make sure you check in with us. We've been doing a lot of hockey substitutions lately. We haven't been able to get all four people on, but we got three of my favorite yappers, two of my favorite yappers, three of your favorite yappers. Of course, Courtney, how you feeling? Welcome back.
I'm feeling fantastic. I'm really happy to be talking ball with you guys again. We will get the full crew back together again very soon, and it will be a glorious day for the brand.
Absolutely. Malik, how you feeling, bro?
I'm good, bro. Jet lag is gone, rested up after that nice week we had in Atlanta, ready to get this second half started.
Yes, bro. Speaking of that, we always do a weekend recap, but this week it was a different type of weekend. Of course, like I said, the 2025 MLB All-Star Game was in Atlanta, Georgia, which means the Derby was here, the Futures game was here, the HBCU Swingman Classic. A lot of great stuff, man, for the brand and for baseball. Malik, I'll start with you, bro. Give me your highlights and give me something that you would have tweaked, something that you think Major League Baseball could have done better.
I'm pretty sure we're going to have the same highlight, but I mean, it had to be that home run derby. The Braves hooked us up with some beautiful seats in left field. And whenever you showed me where it was, I was like, somebody's going to power some shit up there somewhere. Who was it? Brent Rooker, Junior Caminero. They hit a bunch. We had, three or four come near us. Couldn't make a play for y'all to bring our homer back home, but the derby was a lot of fun. If I could change anything with it besides finding a way to make this event on Saturday and Sunday and maybe Monday at worst, so we don't have to call a weekday the weekend. We got to figure out I like the swing off, and I know it hurt everybody that we didn't get those top players in that swing off. Maybe we get them to stay. Maybe Aaron Boone could have not picked Jonathan Aranda. In exchange, he could have picked Bobby Witt. I think he could have picked some better players to have out. But all in all, I've been at these last four All-Star games, I got to say Atlanta was one of my favorites. So the city did it right.
Yeah. The Derby was definitely the highlight, because once I realized that the auxiliary box was going to be Hank Aaron Terrace, I just thought back to the World Series, and nobody hit one up there during the World Series. And like I said, normally during the regular season, the only home runs I've seen up there, I believe Manny Machado hit one. Paul Goldschmidt hit one during the playoffs. Ronnie's gone up there once, but you rarely see balls hit up there, mainly because, you know, everything really goes to the chop house. So when we got out there, I didn't know what to expect, but then we learned really quick, like, oh, no, like, they're coming over here. And so, like you said, a couple guys in our row, one guy tried to catch the ball with his bare hand. He went to the medical tent. He didn't break his hand. Thank God for that. But when I was standing next to him, he was trying to send a message, and his hand was literally just shaking like this. He couldn't even type. But I agree. The Home Run Derby was definitely the highlight. They really put on the show. And I think for the lack of star power or name recognition, at least, that was a really good Home Run Derby. Like, it, outside of, you know, Jazz with the three home runs, you had guys in with double-digit home runs. I still don't like the, you know, timed rounds. I'd rather the 10 outs, you know, and just go that way, old school. But the Derby was definitely the highlight. They put on a show, Brent Rooker, a lot of the younger guys. O'Neal Cruz hit the furthest ball I've ever seen hit at Truist Park. It ended up being 513. It actually broke a window. But he was hitting bombs. And, like, I was nervous that somebody in the front row of that chop house was going to get taken out, because that's how hard some of those balls were being hit. But
shout out Byron Buxton, bro. He had two going into with like a minute 15, a minute 30, and you see him just start flicking baseballs out. He put on a show in his home state, got to the Final Four. Brent Rooker got robbed. Great Home Run Derby, but, you know, losing by an inch. And then the other round he goes, he only has 38 pitches out of his 40. Not a good look in regards to the conspiracy theorists who think Cal Riley was set up to win. But yeah, it was a fun time.
Yeah. I have a question for you guys.
What
happened with Jazz?
Shouldn't have been in it. I think he just shouldn't have been in it. Like, that was just we're gonna get a Yankee in there. We can't get Aaron Judge to do it. And I mean, he is still one of the more popular players, you know, social media, active with the fans, interact. So it was a good guy to have in there, but I mean, a good guy personality wise to have in a Home Run Derby, but no, I don't think he was the right guy to, you know, make that call. And
I wonder who all said no for him to get picked, because we seen Kyle Schwarber took a sneeze and sneezed three over the wall with ease. I don't see how he wasn't. I know Pete said no. I'm assuming that, you know, Tatis might have said no. Of course, Acuna backed out, but Jazz went up there and he really called it before the Derby. He said, "Hey, I ain't practice. I just hit home runs in my sleep. I hit home runs, just without even trying." Whenever he said that, I said, "All right, this guy's probably cooked. He's gonna be out here for a good time." He did say he want to get back in it next year. I'm sorry, Jazz. We're going to have to give that little Home Run Derby check to somewhere else. I think you kind of crossed the line a little bit this year, but yeah, he was a great, 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 great name to see in there.
Yeah. Ellie De La Cruz said he wants to do it next year. And as for my thing I would change, this is the one thing I would change outside. We've also had this conversation for years about it should be on the weekend. But Media Day was interesting. Media Day was interesting. It was good and it was bad. It was good because, you know, It was 92 degrees on Monday, so it was a really hot day. So it would have been terrible to have us all sitting out in the outfield baking in the sun, because, you know, the way Truist sits around that time, the field is just all sun. So, like, I understood putting us in the Moxie, which it made great. That was perfect. But the setup was a little sketch. And what I mean by that is I didn't like how the superstars – and the, you know, the elite players, they had them roped off, where other players were just sitting at a table. You can go up, talk to them, get your content. I also didn't like how there was a certain moment where they made us go upstairs, but then when we got upstairs and we looked downstairs, there were people downstairs doing interviews. So it's like, you just, you know, potentially made us miss some people because you misdirected us for absolutely no reason at all. So that was strange. And my last complaint, people brushed over this. I talked to Terrence Moore about this, but during the press conference, on the official press conference where Pat McAfee was the narrator, and, you know, some baseball minds have some thoughts about that. But there was a woman who was given a microphone. I wish I remembered her name, but she asked a really great question. She said, you know, in 2021, Atlanta lost the All-Star game because of the heartbeat bill. And, you know, Dave Roberts, you were adamant about this is something we need to be 10 toes down on. And, you know, this is not the climate to buckle under, you know, pressures of X, Y, and Z. And she said, you know, 2025, that bill was signed into law. It's on record right now, yet the All-Star game is here in Atlanta. You know, what changed? And I knew it was going to be some bullshit when Pat McAfee was like, we didn't get that. But I saw them, like, looked kind of like, oh shit, she just really asked that. So you knew some fuckery was afoot. And then they made her repeat the entire question, which again, she stood 10 toes down. She repeated the entire question again, word for word. And they danced around the answer. So I felt like they could have handled that better, you know, even if you give an honest answer, but to have them pretend like they didn't really understand what she was asking, you know exactly what she was asking because it's something that's, you know, just at the forefront of all of this. Like they lost the game for a reason. That reason came to fruition. And yet we still got the game in 2025. So it's like, did it really matter? But, you know, that was something that I think they could have done better. But overall, it was a great weekend. The Hank Aaron tribute was amazing. My only wish is that I was in the main press box, which is behind the home plate, so I could have seen it. But once they broke down what they were going to do when I saw it, no, it was amazing. They put up some great shots, especially the shot of Mrs. Aaron watching it. That was crazy. And so, like, it was a lot of tears in the building during that moment. Like, that was really special because everybody knows what Hank Aaron meant to Atlanta, to the city, and they did a great job. So, let's get into our official All-Star recap. And so, of course, for this, we're gonna kick it off with the Derby. Of course, Kyle Riley took home the W, and I'm gonna kick it to you first, Courtney. What was it like watching at home? Because again, like I said, being there, and not even because we almost got assaulted with several baseballs, just it was just a lot of home runs being hit. I didn't get the final count, but I know last year it was 228, and I'm pretty sure they went over that. What was it like for you watching the Derby? I know you all did a live watch party. Shout out to everybody that tuned in for that. We had over 4,000 viewers. That's what's up. We really appreciate that. Courtney, how was the Derby?
It was fantastic, and it was even better that I didn't have to hear any of the people on the TV. I got to just hang out with the homies. That was really nice to have just the broadcast out, broadcast off, I should say. But no, it was entertaining. I had the Statcast version up. I had Scott on the regular one just so we could get, you know, both perspectives. You know me, I like the numbers. I like to see, you know, the again, and that's also why I've got some beef with the Rooker Raleigh situation being sorted out by like an 11th or a 12th of a foot or whatever they said it was like less than an inch, right? I don't know. I still don't know if we actually have the capabilities of whether or not that is completely accurate. And again, putting my tinfoil hat on, you know, it's good for business that he won. And again, ball don't lie. Dude was mashing freaking homers. So I'm not too mad about the result. Cal Raleigh's on an incredible tear. I'd love to see him continue to do it in the second half of the season. But the Derby was pretty entertaining, I'd say. Again, I feel you, Dante. I really wish that they would do away with the time, especially since it was, again, one complaint. That was 3 hours. That was 3 hours. It could have been an email. Like, we could have wrapped this up in like two and a half max. 3 hours, we were really, really, really milking it. I really wish they would go back to, like you said, the outs style, old school, instead of the timer. And also, I really feels like the timer really kind of messes with the results as well. Yeah, I guess it's entertaining to watch somebody hit 21 home runs in 2.5, 3.5 minutes. But no, it was I missed the old format.
Yeah, definitely. Let's get into that real quick. Because, I mean, like you said, ball don't lie. Kyle was on fire, and he did what Adley Rutschman did in 2023 when I was in Seattle. He hit from both sides of the plate, which I really appreciated. Because
that goes crazy.
Yeah, like that goes crazy in the Derby. And so, you know, he earned it. But at the same time, when you go 8 decimal points to the right to say that, well, that's why. I'm like, come on, bro. Like, just say he won. I would rather you lie to the point where you put Brent Rooker's at what, 469, and put his at 470. Say, hey, bro, it is what it is. Because I mean, if you're gonna push the guy through, we don't need that, you know, that you, to pretend that you just make this number actually exist, which is just insane. But no, Malik, like I said, we were there. How do you feel about the Derby? Were there any participants? You know, we're not gonna keep dogpiling on Jazz. We don't let that go. But were there any participants that you know, felt like could have done better, or anybody else you would have wanted to see? Because I know we saw Schwarber go 3-for-3 at the end of the game, which was crazy. But was there anybody else you wanted to see in the Derby?
I mean, dream scenario, of course, I wanted to see a guy like Fernando Tatis Jr. We don't got Juan Soto. We didn't get Vlad Jr. this year. Would have been cool to see him get out there and represent. But on the other hand, Junior Caminero, I think, put his name out there as that guy is going to be a superstar. We were talking about it in the press box. He's going to be, I think, and I really hope somebody that the Rays give a big $100+ million contract to. He balled out. Matt Olson, he did his thing, but I wish he got it going a little earlier. The crowd was going crazy for him, but he struggled before his first time out. I want to say it was till about a minute left, and I want to say he ended up losing to whoever he was going against by only one home run. But I thought the field was impressive. You know, O'Neill Cruz, everybody, that was O'Neill Cruz was the player favorite, going around asking everybody. They were, you know, the I need to figure out what they were saying in Spanish, the tall monkey, something like that, some nickname. I got to get down. But yeah, he did his thing. You know, it was nice seeing Buck not put up a dud. I know I brought him up earlier, but like I said, he was struggling at the start. And he's one of those guys that you're like, man, I hope he doesn't break down. We make that joke all the time because he hasn't been able to play, but he put on a show in his hometown. I think a lot of people, you know, sort of made you can kind of make your name a little more known to the casual baseball fan when you play well in events like that. So, you know, big shout outs to Junior, big shout outs to Bucks. And then again, Olsen, I would have loved to see him in the final to see the bread. You know, everybody was doing the tomahawk chop and all that stuff while he was up chanting his name in the electric ballpark. I didn't get to experience that for the regular season, but seeing them show love to him is all it was great.
Definitely, bro. The Derby, I really enjoyed the Derby. Like I said, Kyle hitting from both sides of the plate. Shout out to James Woods. He was our pick to win. He didn't win, but he did put up 16. But it was just the first round was crazy because it went 16, 17, 18, and then somebody hit 21. And so it was like, okay, like we really have, you know, a real Derby on our hands. So I really enjoyed it. Kyle Riley, like, I'm with you. I want to see him hit, you know, I want to see him hit 60. Like I like these type of numbers, you know, just me personally. I asked James Wills, I think he has 22 home runs right now. Like, do you think you can hit 50 this year? He was like, that's not, you know, it's not even his goal. But at the same time, I think it's something that's actually very achievable. And like a lot of those guys in that game are going to put up some great numbers in the second half of the season. So the Derby was great. Like the Derby really was great. That ballpark is beautiful at nighttime. They really did some great things. And shout out to the grounds crew for taking care of that field because, as you all know, it has rained so much in Atlanta, you know, the last couple months. Like, it's felt like we lived in Florida. I know we joke about that sometimes, but it really has been that bad. And that grounds crew has done a lot to keep that field in great shape. So the Derby was dope. But, of course, you know why we all came. We came for the actual All-Star game. The energy throughout the stadium was really live all game. That's something I really appreciate. We thought it was going to be a blowout. You know, NL jumped out to a big lead. But once we went into extras, this is where, like, Malik mentioned it in the eighth inning, and I had completely forgot they even put this rule into play about the swing-off as opposed to extra innings.
And, well, who would have thought that it would be necessary when you have a 6-0 lead, huh?
Yeah, I mean, when Dave Roberts is managing, you know.
The NL almost managed to piss down their leg on that one.
And they also almost ran out of pitchers, which we're not going to talk about. But, I mean, that's a Dave Roberts special. Well,
let's keep it a book. There was some interesting managerial decisions on both sides there, which it's the Boone and Dave Roberts special.
Yeah, I think it was just more so, bro, we don't give a fuck. Like, especially now that it doesn't actually affect home field advantage, it's like it's an exhibition. Because, like, even when Dave Roberts picked Buddy to go first, he said, well, he doesn't know it, but he's gonna lead off.
Bowers.
Yeah. Bowers. I'm like, okay. But, yeah, we get a game. Like I said, we got into the swing off, and it was set up for the dramatics, especially with Malik, correct me, what's bro's name? The one from the Diamondbacks? The one he hit second for the American League.
It was Rooker, Randy, Aranda
from he's from Toronto, right?
Tampa Bay.
Tampa, my bad. But yes, Aranda he hit the bricks. And like what people don't realize about that ballpark is in right field, it has to clear the bricks. Like it's funny because a couple games ago, Matt Olson hit the top of the bricks and it bounced back into play. And so obviously that's a double, but I mean, we've seen it all season where, you know, you have to clear the brick. So when he hit it, you have people in the stadium going home run, which everybody wanted him to tie it up because we wanted to see Pete Alonso obviously end it. Like it was set up for Pete to walk it off in Truist, which, you know, Braves fans wouldn't have liked, but it would have been pretty dope. But instead we got, like I said, Kyle Schwarber. I still got the video on my phone, 3 for 3. And that ending, bro, everybody on their feet, like that was must-see TV. So that I have two things I want to talk about from the game. But first, let's swing it around and talk about the actual ending of the game and how you all like that format. Courtney, I'll go to you first.
Oh, I thought it was electric. That was like one of the best decisions that the league has made for the All-Star game in years, in my opinion. That being said, and this is no disrespect to any of the guys that had to put on for their league in that situation. But, like, we were robbed. As baseball fans, as consumers of the product, even casuals, were robbed of the opportunity to see the best in the game. And, again, it's the All-Star game. You could make the argument that, oh, you know, the people that we're hitting are the best in the game. And they are. But we really missed out as fans and, like I said, as consumers by not seeing Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani taking hacks in that final round. That's kind of ridiculous to me. And hearing that, oh, some of the guys left and, oh, the plan was never for them. It was pre-selected. Are you sure it was pre-selected? Because Kyle Stowers quite literally said, oh, well, I had no idea. Dave Roberts said he had no idea that he was going to be doing it until he said it. So, like, which is it? Is it Uchiwali? Is it one Mike? I don't know. I just think it's kind of disappointing that we didn't get to see Judge or Ohtani for the AL and NL respectively.
Malik, bro, I'm going to go to you. How you feel?
Yeah, I agree with it that we were robbed of the moment, and I wish there was a way we could figure out. I know it's a long weekend for those guys, a lot of media, a lot of, you know, commercial filming. They make them do a media scrum after they come out the game, you know. So for that reason, I'm like, okay, it's hard to do what they did and then, you know, go put your uniform back on, stretch out and get ready to go hit home runs. Especially,
man, I'm not trying to hear that. That's why you make all that money.
That's true.
That's why you make all right. that money, man.
Yeah, like, I get
it. It's, if you don't, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I totally understand, Malik, like exactly where you're coming from because you're not wrong. I'm not an unreasonable person. I know these dudes have very limited free time. But also my thing is, if you don't want to participate in the All-Star game and all the festivities and all the shit that comes along with it, pardon my language, decline the invite. You see how many different dudes declined the invite to the All-Star game because they did, you know, either they wanted to rest or they wanted to reclaim some of the limited free time that they do have in that stretch. I totally understand that and I respect it. But I think it's kind of a cop-out knowing that you were in the stadium and you left. You left early? Like, we don't even ask you for, like, I'm not asking you for that much. Just stay a little bit longer. It's not like I'm asking you to stay an extra day, to stay until the next day. Another hour, bro? I know you're hopping on a PJ right up out of here anyway. So, like, I don't like it.
It's just funny, like, things like whenever shit gets exposed like this, something, a habit that, I mean, I don't think that happens in any other type of All-Star game. In the NBA.
No, hell no.
LeBron James, he only played one half of one game. I remember a few years ago, he played like one half, two quarters, and then he was in street clothes. He stayed. No other place would allow that. So I do want to see if that will continue. The main part of me that likes what the swing off was is it gives somebody else a chance to be a star. It gives some of these great players a chance to show that they are stars. Now, I love that they gave, I believe, Jonathan Aranda the opportunity to get the hit. There's no reason why Bobby Witt Jr. wasn't out there swinging the bat. That's a guy who's a bigger star than everybody who was in that swing off. You had Byron Buxton, a guy from Georgia, a guy who's going to be up for the MVP this season, who's fresh off a home run derby the night before. How is how is he not in there? I mean, and then, I mean, they lost. So, of course, they didn't get the chance to, but if you don't get Judge, you don't get Ohtani. Okay. After seeing what Kyle Schwarber did, Pete was going to launch four out of the stadium. He was going to launch three pitches out of the stadium. So,
and we were robbed. We were robbed of the opportunity to see it.
Yes.
Yeah. No, and I'm not going to lie. When I saw
I would have loved to see it for funsies.
Yeah. When I saw the scrums, I was actually shocked the guys were in street clothes when they were doing the scrums. I thought they were going to, you know, go out, do media. And, like, you know, throw their hoodie.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
And come back and watch the game. I didn't expect them to actually leave. So that was definitely interesting. And I agree. Like, it would have been amazing to see Shohei versus Judge and all of the stars do that. But that was great, bro. That was great. At the end of the day, it was. Like I said, you know, we can complain about the lineup, but the product delivered. Another thing that, in my opinion, delivered, and one of the things people were worried about is ABS, the automated ball and strike system, made its debut. They used it a little bit in spring training, but they used it in the game. We actually saw it in the first inning. Terry Skubal challenged the pitch. He won, struck the guy out. And I will say this. I fucking love it. And the reason I love it is it was so quick. There wasn't a review that was over maybe 30 seconds. It was quick, it was accurate. And I will say players may, you know, complain about that, you know, quarter of an inch strike that pitchers are now going to automatically get. But I mean, I think overall it wasn't overused. There was never a point where it's like, all right, that's enough stops. When we eventually get it in game situations and we see if somebody can do it in the playoffs, and we'll see how that affects momentum. And if guys start to strategically use it, like, I'm going to challenge this just to try to kill some of the momentum they have. We'll see how that goes. But I think for what they wanted us to do in an all-star game, that was a great first test. And I'm excited to see what they do with it going forward. Malik, how'd you feel about the ABS system?
Look, I've been begging for that for like 3-4 years. As somebody who probably watches, we got 81 home games, about 60 of them, I see so many missed calls. And it doesn't, to me personally, it doesn't matter if it comes in the first inning, the second inning, the ninth inning. Every chance you got, you're up to bat, you got a chance to make a play. Every time somebody's on base, you have a chance to drive them in. So to see players lose on at bats for just having play discipline, or for even on the pitching side, you know, guy throws a strike, not called that, you know, a walk, can pile into so much more. I agree. I like you said, though, no review took over 30 seconds. And it was clear and decisive. It wasn't an NFL pass interference call. It wasn't an NFL holding call. It wasn't there's a fingertip, maybe touch this out. No, if the ball had hit any part of the zone, it's a strike. If it missed, it's a ball. There was no arguing and then there was no arguing the call, even on when I want to say that was Manny Machado who got rung up by the center meter. And then I believe Edwin Diaz did it too, I want to say, maybe. But there was it's black and white, it's straight there. And I think that this is something that Manfred should consider adding for the playoffs this coming up season. We saw a few years ago where they decided to put the Ghost Runner, and then they got rid of it. They got rid of Ghost Runner in playoffs this past year. But what does it? It doesn't hurt anything if you're not wasting the time with it that you're doing it for every regular season game. Everybody's going to be tuned into these games. Let's get the calls right. Let's see how it rocks. So I want to see if that's something that they add to playoffs.
ABS playoffs.
I think it might happen next season if we're lucky. We'll get it next season. But, you know, the league is so averse to change. Like, Malik, you're not wrong, but the league is just so averse to change. I'm having a hard time imagining that they would be willing to implement it that swiftly.
Yeah, I definitely see it's probably more of a 2026 goal for Manfred, but I think it's coming. It's going to be here. And if it can be that fast and efficient, I'm cool with it. That was perfectly fine.
So, and do the minor leagues only get two a game?
I believe so. I don't think it's not like just the robot is always on. Like, I mean, it's always on, but like it's only a couple of reviews that they get.
Yeah, I like the strategy, the strategic part of that as well. That was cool.
Yeah, no, definitely. But no, now that the All-Star game is over, it's time to prepare for the second half of the season, ladies and gentlemen. Now we all know that the teams that we're following, well, we're gonna get into y'all team in a second, but the team that I am currently covering here in Atlanta, it's no point of even mentioning them in contenders or pretenders because they are out of it. That's what they are. That's what we're gonna call it. But we're gonna go ahead and look at the current standings as we get ready for baseball to kick back up this weekend. We're gonna tell you who are the division leaders, who are the wild card leaders, and in the National League is more cut and dry than the American League. I'll have to name more teams. But we're going to name some teams that are hanging on, that are still in the hunt as we get ready to start making more trades and really pushing for the end of the season. So let's get to it real quick. Let me pull this up. The American League. The American League leaders are the Detroit Tigers, the Houston Astros, and the Toronto Blue Jays. The AL wild card leaders, the Yankees are number one by two games. The Boston Red Sox are a game up on the Seattle Mariners. And for your contenders or pretenders, which, I mean, well, everybody's going to pick from wherever they want to on this list for contenders and pretenders. It could be somebody up top that you think is going to fall off. That's fine with me. But I'm going to read a couple of teams. Like I said, the American League, as Courtney put it, is, you know, it's very interesting right now. So, we got Tampa. They are currently a game and a half back. Texas Rangers are three and a half back. The Los Angeles Angels are four games back. The Minnesota Twins are four games back. The Kansas City Royals are four and a half games back. And the Cleveland Indians are four and a half games back. So, I mean, there's a lot of baseball left, so there's still some motion to be had. So that's going to get interesting. Let's go over to the National League. The Los Angeles Dodgers, obviously, are in first place in the West. The Chicago Cubs are currently in first place in the Central. The Philadelphia Phillies are in first place in the NL East. Our NL wild card leaders are the Milwaukee Brewers, who are four games up. The New York Mets are two and a half games up on the San Diego Padres, and those are the final three wild card spots. And in the National League, the San Francisco Giants are a half a game behind San Diego. You know, they got some matchup coming up. The St. Louis Cardinals are a game and a half back. Cincinnati is two and a half games back, and Arizona is five and a half games back. So, Courtney, I'm going to start with you. We're going to, like I said, real quick, give me your contender and your pretender.
My contenders and pretenders are both from the National League. I decided to keep it in the National League just because, in my opinion, that's a little bit more competitive, and I kind of want to narrow it down a little bit. My contender is the Milwaukee Brewers. I am maybe a little bit delusional. Maybe it's a little bit of bias because I used to work for the Brewers and I've got a soft spot for them. But that being said, they are coming into a good part of the season. They do have, if I'm not mistaken, the 10th toughest schedule remaining out of the 30 teams. So it's not an easy climb, but they're only a game back of the Cubs right now. The rotation is looking pretty formidable. I remember when the season started, their rotation of guys that were healthy consisted of one Freddie Peralta, and that was it. So the fact that they are still in this position, still being able to compete and hang in there with the Cubs, again, it kind of depends on what the Cubs do. But I'm really into the Brewers right now. They have three of the top four hits leaders in the National League in Sal Frehley, Christian Yelich, and Jackson Chourio. Christian Yelich is looking fucking fantastic. Andrew Vaughn finally left the poverty of the South Side. Now he's thriving in Milwaukee.
Wow.
Sorry, I had to throw that in
there. We went there. We went there.
I did. I tried to bring that up to Scott, actually, and he was like, I'm not trying to hear it. I was like, I don't know. People have this amazing way of thriving as soon as they leave Chicago. You know, at least that part of Chicago. So, but yeah, the Brewers are my contenders. My pretenders might be a little shocking to some. They are in the NL West, but they are not the Giants. And that's the San Diego Padres. I do think that they have a fantastic bullpen. And again, they are only in second place in the NL West, but they are 5.5 games back of LA. And that's even after the Dodgers went through an incredible losing streak to end the first half of the season. But no, the Padres went 13-15 in June. Machado has been great. You know, he has a .283 batting average and he has a .914 OPS in the first half of the month of July. But the bottom half of that lineup, like the 7-8-9, is a stinker. I think they made a mistake by not doing more with the catcher role. I know they have a lot of money committed in a lot of different places, so which is why I find it hard to believe that they would be able to make any sort of trades for a Jaron Duran or anything like that, just because they have or even any other kind of – they just have a lot of money tied up in guys like Xander Bogaerts who aren't really doing a whole lot of anything. Yeah, Fernando Tatis is kind of heating up, but for the first – couple months, Fernando Tatis was not much to write home about. Jake Cronenworth is kind of a shell of himself at the moment. I think he only has like 8 homers and like a .284 batting average right now. He's not doing very well. I know they are getting Yu Darvish back, or they got Yu Darvish back. But yeah, I'm just not sold on them at all. Great bullpen, second lowest ERA, 3.2 ERA as a bullpen. But they've had 78 games so far decided by 1 or 2 runs, and that's only second to the Colorado Rockies. So I don't know. They just leave a lot to be desired, and I think the Giants will absolutely jump them because they are only, I think, a game back or a half game back, actually, of the Padres. And, yeah, they have the final spot, the Padres do, the final NL wild card spot right now, and it would not surprise me if they do end up missing the playoffs.
All right, Malik, I'm going to go to you, bro. Show contender your pretenders.
My contender, the Toronto Blue Jays. It shocked me to see that they've been able to stay above water for this long, but I think after what they did against the Yankees, they might be for real. George Springer's having a great year. Vlad Jr.'s comfortable in that. He got paid with that contract. Kirk, the all-star, batting good. All their young guys. They have a lot of young guys. Clemens. Getting the job done for him. Bo Bichette still there, not having that typical Bo Bichette league leading hitting season, but they have a nice top of their rotation. You get Gausman, if you face them in the playoffs, I should say, Gausman, Berrios, and I don't know why the other guy's slipping my name, but I definitely think they have one of the stronger teams in the AL East. And I'll go to another side of the AL East for my pretender. The Boston Red Sox. I see they got there, you know, in the wild card mix now, but I just think they're too young. I don't think they have enough pitching depth. It kind of reminds me of a lesser version of what the Baltimore Orioles were. You got Roman Anthony, Meyer, of course, Rafaela's balling this year. They're on a hot streak now, but unless they make some adds, which I do think that they will make some trades, mm-hmm. add to the bullpen. We'll see. There's rumors that Aroldis Chapman's going to leave. I don't think that might be in their best interest. I think you should keep a guy on your back end of your rotation in case you make the playoffs. But if they don't add, then I don't think they're going to be able to catch Toronto. And I think at some point they fall off. And, of course, I mean, another pretender team, they're right at the edge of everything. But I'm going to say the Arizona Diamondbacks. Just not a lot from them this season. And I think the hole that they're in is just too much. Like Courtney was saying, the Dodgers they're on their worst streak, one of their worst streaks in franchise history, and they're still way up on them. I don't think that they're better than the Padres. And I think that San Francisco, with the addition of Devers, whenever Devers gets hot, will have a one up on them too. So Blue Jays contender, Red Sox pretender.
Hey, no, that's a very good choice, bro. I got a few, but I'm not going to go too in-depth so for the sake of time. I do have the San Francisco Giants as a contender. Big shout out to Robbie Ray. I had a good talk with Robbie. We talked for like 3 or 4 minutes just about his process, you know, every day when he takes the mound, pitching injuries and pitch clock, you know, a year later, how everybody's feeling. We had a really good talk, and we're going to get that out to y'all. I do have the San Francisco Giants as contenders because of Robbie Ray, Logan Webb, that pitching staff. They're always going to be in ball games, and I'm with you, Malik. I think Rafi Devers is going to wake up, and that's a team that, Courtney, as you said, they're only a half a game behind the San Diego Padres, so they can easily leapfrog them. And once you leapfrog them, it's just a matter of staying above them. And that pitching staff is always going to keep them in games, like I said. So I think I have the Giants down as one of my contenders. My pretender, I'm still just not ready for – I don't think Cincinnati is going to do anything. I think, like, it's a team that is trendy to say, oh, they got a lot of young talent. And, like, you know, Hunter Green's going to be a Dodger soon. You know, we're going to write that down. You know, he's going to go home. But nah, bro, I just have Cincinnati as a contender, as a pretender. And I also have the Los Angeles Angels as pretenders. It was a cute story. It was fun at the beginning of the year. And now, right now, I think all the energy and all the focus on Ron Washington getting back in good health, and we seeing him back out on the field as soon as possible. My last contender, I will say, shout out to Bucks and the Minnesota Twins. I think, you know, with him healthy, this is one thing we haven't seen. He's on pace to play his most games ever, I believe, Malik. I know it was like over 120 for the first time, I damn think ever. But no, I think as long as Bucks is healthy, that's a team that they, you know, I still don't expect Minnesota to make a deep playoff run, but that's a team that can, like I said, they'll definitely make the playoffs. He'll definitely help them do that. I think it was interesting during media day, somebody was trying to ask some questions about him possibly being traded, and he was like, I have a no trade clause. I'm a twin for life. Like,
he hasn't played over 140 since 2017.
Also,
2024, the first year he went over 100 games.
Yeah. Twin for life, asterisk. Depends on what that money looks like, right? Because, like, he's owed $15 million bucks for the next 3 years, right? So, like, even with the games missed, if someone said that you could sign Byron Buxton to a 3-year, $45 million contract, you're doing it any day of the week.
Of course.
I'm giving up just about anything for Byron Buxton. If you need that bat in your lineup, which he's proven himself a quality bat. I know it was a derby, but like he's proven himself a quality bat. You better make that fucking trade.
I wouldn't mind bringing him home to Georgia. That's a different conversation. But I do think, you know, Bucks, that's a guy, like you said, essentially a three-year $45 million deal. You do that any day of the week. But like I said, he's happy in Minnesota. He's been, you know, despite the injuries, he is one of the faces of that franchise, if not the face, just flat out. And like I said, I'm not expecting a deep playoff run, but if we look up and the Minnesota Twins are one of those three wild card spots, it wouldn't shock me at all. And like, you know, like we do every week, you know, coming off a great weekend with a lot of stars and a lot of future stars, college stars, it's time to talk about the big guns. We got our series to watch. I'm going to lead off with Courtney. You know, who you got and why?
So my series to watch this weekend, going back to my contenders, is the Brewers and the Dodgers. Again, the Dodgers didn't end the first half of the season on a great note. I do know they won their last two games, but before that, I think they lost, correct me if I'm wrong, 7 or 8. Someone correct me if I'm wrong, 7 or 8 games before that. Again, arguably their worst losing streak in recent years. But yeah, it's going to be a great series to watch. There have been no pitching announcements yet made on either side for that series. But again, the Brewers are back basically at full strength. I think their biggest name on the IL right now is Nestor Cortes, which that's another guy, in my opinion, if you're the Brewers, trade him right now. But yeah, the Dodgers are short a bunch of guys. So who knows who we're going to see. If maybe we might not even get Roki Sasaki back this season. So yeah, I'm just curious to watch this series just to see how the Brewers play and how that lineup looks going against LA.
No, definitely. Courtney, what was the question we were fact checking you on? What did you ask?
Oh, how many games the Dodgers lost before the All-Star break? I know they won their last two games before the break, but
I want to say it was 7.
Yeah, they were 3-7 after the 3-7 in their last 10.
Yeah, that's fucking terrible.
And I want to say two or three of those L's are from Milwaukee. Who will be visiting correct. Out there this weekend? Correct. For my series.
Are we going?
I hate that.
You good?
It's not even done going. There's not nothing there. Going to my series to watch, though, I'll be at Rangers and Tigers this weekend. The Tigers, a team that I wanted really, really bad to call the Tigers a pretender and to call the Rangers a contender, because you, Dante, you said it. When you named the standings earlier, only 3.5 back and probably the worst offense in franchise history. And then the teams that you named behind them, Cleveland, Minnesota, Kansas City, I think there's more firepower in Texas. So it'll be a good time to show that this weekend. I believe Patrick Corbin is going against Reese Olsen tomorrow, Friday. We'll get Kumar Rocker and an unnamed starter from Detroit on Saturday. And then Sunday Night Baseball could be one of the games of the year pitching-wise. It's no Jacob deGrom, but no slouch in his own right. Nathan Eovaldi, lowest ERA in the league, facing against Tarik Skubal. For the Tigers, I'm going to need – I think they need another bat. I always think they could use another bat. I know the way that A.J. Hinch plays with the you putting in the best guy at this situation, pinch hitting this guy, but I don't know how well that Andy Ibañez in the 4-5 spot is going to do in the playoffs. I think they can afford to go get a big thumper for their lineup and maybe even add another pitcher. Mize was an all-star as well, but Flaherty's been all right this year, kind of fell off at the end, but who's going to be that second guaranteed ace? Can they go get that, or can they go get a deep threat bat? But yeah, Tigers versus Rangers, catch it, ESPN, Sunday Night Baseball. That's the game you do not want to miss.
Yeah, definitely, bro. Like I said, MLB did a good job with the schedule coming out of the break. We got some really good series coming up. For me, I'll be in the building for Braves-Yankees. Obviously, this is a series that looked a lot more exciting on paper when you put the schedule together when the season started. The Braves are really much at a point, pretty much at a point where, you know, Marcell Ozuna, I think he won't be here by the time the trade deadline is over, simply because he will be a free agent after this, and they're not going to pay him. Major moves, I don't expect many, but right now I think it's a time to reevaluate things and see where you can get for 2026. And, you know, what pieces you can move to get some guys in here who could probably, you know, help that bullpen out. Maybe be some utility guys. You're not going to get a lot because, you know, the Braves, like I said, their farm system isn't loaded at all. So they don't have too much wiggle room unless you were to give up a guy, which would be selling extremely low on, you know, Michael Harris. I don't see that happening, but he has a gold glove. That's just, they're not going to give up on him, at least not after, you know, one extremely bad season, but it's been really bad. So hopefully this break cleared his mind. And, you know, as for the Yankees, bro, we talk about this every year, you know, coming off of, you know, World Series fatigue and everything like that. What are the Yankees going to do? You know, are they going to go back? Are they going to actually get the job done this time? Or is it a situation where we once again are sitting here in clutch situation and asking, where's Aaron Judge? Courtney, I'm going to go to you.
Can I make a really, really, really bold claim here? And if I'm wrong, this is going to get so buried so far deep into the internet that it basically never existed.
Go ahead.
I don't think the Yankees are going to win the division. I don't think the Yankees are. I feel like your hat almost may be a little foreboding, Dante.
I didn't even think about that when I put this hat on. That's actually pretty crazy. But you,
I've been thinking about it since. You know what prompted this thought? I've been thinking about it actually since our pre-show meeting. I was like, is he trying to tell us something? And also, you know, it sounds crazy because I really was thinking, like, there's no way they don't win this division. And then the Red Sox have been on that insane tear. I'm still not sold on that, by the way. But, like, Malik, I see the vision, right? I'm just not sold on it yet. Like, I got to see what they do in these next 2 weeks. Also, there's, like, a couple of big X factors for me, and that's Lucas Giolito and Brian Baio. Like, I need to see what they're going to do. Those are really my biggest points of concern. And also, we haven't even seen Kyle Harrison yet. Haven't even seen him. So that being said, I don't know, man. The next 2 weeks are going to be really interesting in Major League Baseball, and I will definitely be tapped in.
Oh, no, absolutely. And, yeah, like I said, it's going to be fun. Like I said, no probable pitchers outside of tomorrow. Spencer Strider will take the mound. Spencer's looked good in his last few starts. That's something that I've loved to see because I was really concerned after, you know, he went for the brace as opposed to another Tommy John, you know, which I understand for someone who's had multiples as he has. So I think it's a situation where, you know, he's just continuing to catch his groove. The velocity is returning, and even though it's a lost season for a guy like Spencer with the time he's missed, you want to see him getting into that regular routine and getting to really be himself and gaining that momentum. So he'll take the bump on Friday. But, I mean, yeah, if you're the Yankees, what are you going to do, man? You just need to get in. So it's nothing wrong with winning a wild card. But like you said, Courtney, if y'all start BSing, there are teams behind you that are right there, and they're hungry. So it's going to be interesting. There's a lot of great baseball ahead of us, and I'm looking forward to the end of the season. That is the end of this episode. You know, thank you all for joining us. You know where to find Courtney at 1-800-CALLABRO. You know where to find Malik at underscore Team Mill. You know where to find me at October Zone Take. And always, always, always make sure, tell a friend to tell a friend. Follow the Barbershare Co. at Barbershare Co. on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershare Network. We got four tiers, four very affordable tiers, nothing over $10. $10 is the max. We're not asking for too much, but those do help us get more great content out to you. So go ahead and subscribe. Any merch, hats, t-shirts, sweatshirts, mugs. We're going to get some lighters for everybody who indulges in cigars and everything else. BCNetShop.com. And for everything Barbershare Net related, for everything we got going. Like I said, OTAs are about to start, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of expectations in both cities. Make sure you tap into thebcnet.com. That's all we got for y'all today. Episode 13 of the High and Outside podcast. We thank you for coming in. As usual, you're going to see this live on Friday. Anything you got for us, send it to us. Let us know. We record during the week. We do actually take this shit serious. So correct. Whatever you want to talk about, let us know.
Several DMs from some of our listeners. I have standing DM threads with some of the listeners. So everybody that does DM me on some non-weird stuff, I'm grateful for you.
Yes. Key emphasis on non-weird. If it gets weird, we're going to expose you. But that's another conversation.
Don't make me screenshot. I will screenshot in shame. This is not a safe space.
This is not a safe space, brother. But no, thank y'all. We'll see y'all next week.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.